This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:41. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And today we are looking at how supermarkets have been doing throughout the MCO, one of our mainstays throughout the last 7 weeks. So we just wanted to check in and see how they've been adjusting as well as what initiatives they've been taking. And doing that with us, we have Azliza Azmal, who's the Corporate Services Director at Tesco Malaysia. Azliza, thank you so much for joining us. So what has it been like throughout the MCO for Tesco in terms of supply and demand? Have you observed a greater uptick, for example, in consumer demand?
Okay, I think it's really unprecedented times for all of us here and as well as everybody else in Malaysia. So I think the first few weeks of MCO, we do see the changing in customer pattern, and there were quite a number of panic buying that was observed in some of our stores. So a lot of our favorite brands were taken very quickly before even we can replenish them. And I think that has now come down a bit more. I guess people are getting used to the fact that there is a certain way of shopping, and they are more comforted that supply of food is continuing. And right now we can see that it's normalizing a bit. And in this period, we also see that more people are cooking, obviously, because most of them are staying at home. And lots of fresh items, produce, meat and poultry, high in demand. And now that we're in the Ramadan period, we see more and more of this pattern of buying vegetables and meats more often. And one of the things which we notice is the demand for online has gone up tremendously since the start of the MCO.
And did you actually face any issues with supply?
Yeah, I suppose in the beginning we can see, in terms of supplies from suppliers, there were some challenges in the total output because they were also adjusting to the capacity in their manufacturing plants where they are complying with the government requests to reduce workforce as much as possible. And some of our suppliers had shortages in raw materials. That means they had to wait a bit longer for them. And most interestingly was packaging. So we had suppliers where they ran out of packaging and therefore they can't pack the things and send it to the customers. But those were quickly agreed and innovation and they created new ways of supplying to us, so that was good. But the second problem we had was also logistics. In the second phase of MCO, we had more restrictions, more roadblocks, which means that things were delayed to come to as well as delivery to store. And that too has impacted our online shopping, right? Because the drivers, our delivery vans were also caught in traffic, which means that some of the orders had to be cancelled. And when you talk about supply, providing our customers with online shopping was also a challenge at the beginning because all of a sudden we see a big demand and we quickly had to do something to try and increase the slots that's available. But at the same time, our delivery times were shortened because normally we deliver up to 10 o'clock at night, but during the second stage of MCO, it was reduced to 8 o'clock. So that was quite tough for customers and ourselves. But having said that, we managed to then increase the capacity for online shopping by 50%, and we now have recruited more colleagues to help us pick more efficiently and also put some limits on the weightage on our online so that more slots can be picked and also more customers can enjoy shopping online.
Right. And Tesco has also been donating surplus food to NGOs. Could you talk to us about how you first began working with these NGOs?
Okay. Tesco is really passionate about food waste, and we are certainly supporting the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals 12, which is to reduce global food waste by 50% by 2030. So in 2016, we thought about trying to actually distribute all of the unsold food that we have in the store, but it's still good to eat. What we did was we went out there and found two very good partners, Chara Soup Kitchen and Food Aid Foundation. So we started a 6-month trial program with 2 stores. We started with bakery products because they are already cooked, right? Baked, and it's easy to transport it. And as soon as we finished the trial and agreed our processes, we managed to expand our surpluses to include fruits and vegetables as well. We have managed to donate up to 5.3 million meals to charities and also welfare homes, which means that we managed to rescue around 1,338 tons of food from waste.
And overall, how did you choose the partners that you wanted to work with?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. One of the things that we really are concerned is the common value that we share. So as you said, that we both share the value of not wasting food and, you know, ending hunger, so that's a good thing. Secondly, it's about capability. We needed to make sure that we had partners who are able to convince us that they can handle responsibly for both Chara and also Food Aid Foundation. They have facilities like chilled trucks and also chilled blasting facilities in the central kitchen, which means that the food that we donate can sustain the distribution process. And they also have a system where they vet the charities that they supply to, which gives us comfort that the food is not going to be misused. So the third one is the capacity. So we operate all over Malaysia, we have about 60 stores, and we needed partners that can consistently collect and distribute for us every day. And I'm so glad that both our partners are able to service us in all the states that we operate in efficiently up till today.
And this arrangement predates the MCO. Have there been changes to these initiatives during this MCO period?
Yeah, I guess the MCO period does come with challenges because people have to stay at home. So some of the volunteers that volunteer with both our partners also had to stay at home. And we also had the social distancing, some limitation on distribution roadblocks. So we really had to rethink about how we do the best distribution with our partners. And in the beginning also, we had lesser things coming from the store because panic buying actually meant that we had less surplus in the store. So to do that, we also supplemented by our own nation of essential items like cooking oil and rice.
Mm. And were there any new organizations that you began working with during the MCO?
Yes. One of the things which we were very attracted about was Kumbara Kitchen. So we saw in media, in social media, that they were cooking for frontliners, you know, feeding them, and also providing charity homes common ground as well, because taking care of the frontliners is something that we are really, really passionate about as well. So we teamed up with them and started mobilizing them as well. We also managed to get them to supply air coolers and also some paper products and water to the hospitals and also to the frontliners, because you know they also need these items to keep them working. On top of it, we also supplied essentials and canned food to Kumbara Kitchen to help them either to cook or to distribute. The good thing about Kumbara Kitchen is the fact that they are closely working together with the Jabatan Kemajuan Malaysia as well as the MKN to distribute. So that means, you know, some of the challenges around roadblocks and distributions are being ironed out when we actually distribute through them.
And another thing, I heard that you've also been supplying surplus food to Zoo Negara. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So, to maximize our food surplus donation program, we thought we can begin to try and see if we could speak to Zoo Negara around donating food as well to the animals. From the beginning of this month, we started with a trial with our store, our Ampang store, and I'm so glad to say that we've managed to donate over 1 ton of fish, poultry and meat zoo, and to feed the animals. And on top of that, we hope we could also work with other zoos around in Malaysia to do the same thing. And in the meanwhile, our other stores in the north and south has also taken an initiative. to support the RSPCA and the animal sanctuary by providing animal cat food and dog food. Hopefully that will continue.
And finally, earlier you mentioned that Tesco has been assisting frontliners. Can you tell us more about that initiative?
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of frontliners, as I said, things that they can do their job better, for example. So for all the frontliners, if they show their badge, they can actually be up in the queue much earlier than everybody else. And there is also a dedicated counter in the store for them to make payments as they go on. So it's an easier shopping trip and a quicker one.
Azliza, thank you so much for speaking to us. That was Azliza Azmil, Corporate Services Director at Tesco Malaysia, talking about the work that they've been doing throughout the MCO, especially in terms of assisting NGOs during this challenging time. If you have any questions, if you'd like to share any experiences that you've had at supermarkets recently, you can, of course, call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.